All right, we're going to be in Psalm 143. You have one for me here? By the way, that's, I think, the first time we've had a meltdown since we've been here with the PAs, and our guys have done a good job under difficult circumstances. Sorry, just thought I'd get them there. Thank you. Boy, I was very pleased this morning. Thank you for being here. We, with all the rain, and it was packed out here, all the extra chairs and everything, and with the rain, I didn't know how that was going to go. I wanted to stay home, to be honest with you, but I came. My wife made me come. And thank you for being back here tonight. I know it's a little windy and maybe a bit chilled, and so I'll try to be a little faster here tonight. Psalm chapter 143. I'm not in a series on Psalms. We did that at the end of last year. I think we did about 20 messages, but I'm kind of in Psalms again. There's so much here. And as I read this psalm, I saw something that I want to point out tonight. Finding direction, particularly in life, is not always easy. I think of just even back in the day when we used to, you travel somewhere or work somewhere, getting directions, finding out where you're going was not always easy. You know, we'll throw one of these things like, you kids, you don't understand how it was when we were younger. If we went somewhere, we had to have, okay, I'm going to date some of you here for a second. Are you ready? Thomas Guide's Map Book. How many of you remember that? Yes, it was a book that you would put under your car that was like 7,042,000 pages thick. And it had every street on the county, and it literally had 200 pages. And you literally had to open it up, find the page that had your area, and, you know, you'd look in the back, and it's C8, and it was just a hassle. And back in the day, we had our own business, and we did property management, so I was using that thing for everything, and it was just a hassle. And then when we used to go on trips, I mentioned the old AAA strip maps. How many of you ever used those? Those were kind of fun, but the same thing. You had to look at it. And then came the internet. MapQuest. By the way, MapQuest is probably out of business, right? They probably shouldn't have put in a business there. Remember, we got a property down, a commercial property down in San Diego. And so I had to go down there, and it was in receivership. So I'd go down there, I'd meet the tenants. Hey, where, blah blah blah. So I had no clue where it was. So, you know, I'd get on my computer, I print it out. You know, this is where it is. Here's how I get here. And I had the map, and so I had a little pickup truck, and I had the windows open because I'm driving down the ocean on the 5, and I had the windows open. I had a little back window in my truck, and I had the map tucked in the little visor. And I'm just having a good time. The fresh air is coming in. And I think the fresh air kind of switched. And next thing you know, my map got sucked out the window. And there's no other option. It's like you're trying to wing it here. I think I had to make a bunch of phone calls and figure out how to get there. But you know what? It's a lot easier now, right? We don't even have to do those lame GPSs where you use a little suction cup and you stick it on your window. And about every 3 or 4 days, it falls off. And you got to lick it and put it back up there. Now it's your phone. It's just so easy to get to where you're going. You just put it in your phone, and you get a female voice, because if you're married, you're used to a female voice telling what you do anyhow, and then you just kind of go. You make the wrong recalculating. But it is so much easier to find out where you are going. Now, we're going somewhere with that. God has specific directions and a destination for your life. Now, the Christian term we use is God's will. God has a will for your life. That is what God wants you to do. That is where God wants you to be. These are the things in life that God has so designated for you. And God wants us to know what those things are. But sometimes when it comes to God's will in our life, there are several potential problems with God's will. And for us, not just finding it, but fulfilling it in our lives. Sometimes the first problem I would think of is that some Christians, believe it or not, for my life, but sometimes that doesn't always happen. Lastly, I think one of the difficulties with God's will, and we're going to see that today in Psalm chapter 143, is that we struggle to continue to stay and follow God's will when there's difficult times, when there's problems that come. You see, too many people allow problems to distract them. And it may not, and again, I'm not talking about something that's necessarily wrong or sinful or that type of thing. It's just that problems come and they don't handle the problems right, or they don't sense God's working in those problems as he is or through those problems, and it gets them distracted from his will. We're going to look at Psalm 143, as is the case with many of the Psalms. They are written at a specific time in the author's life, particularly David. And this one, as I studied through it, many think that it was also written at the time of Absalom's rebellion, as I believe last week's was, for sure. But I'm not sure about that. That seems to be the consensus here. But whether or not that was the issue, this was written in a time of great distress and in a very, very dangerous situation for David. By the way, you could just look at his life. There were a lot of them that he had to fight through. But in times of trouble, it's how we react that's important. Because the way we react when problems come to our life really led us to get, help us to get a grip on what kind of Christian we really are. You know, you don't really know. You can have an inkling, but you don't really know just how strong your faith really is until it's really pushed. Until you really have to get, you really have to put it to practice in a difficult time. And then you're going to find out just really how rooted you are and how strong you are and how much you've prepared your faith to be prepared, to be ready to face the situation. When we face these difficult times, it reveals us just exactly who we're trusting in. Reveals to us just how dedicated we really, really are. Regardless of the background, David was in a very dark and dangerous place, and he needed some serious guidance from God. As we look at this verse, at this chapter, you're going to see, I think, to me, the key of it all is when David gets to verse 8. And when he gets to verse 8, I think the longing of his heart and the need of the situation and the need of the hour, he expresses it in verse 8. So let's look at verse 8 together. We're going to look at the whole chapter pretty much this evening. Verse 8, he says, "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee." Remember last week when we talked about spiritual insomnia, how David said as he was going through these troubles, he goes, "I was able to sit down and to sleep. And then in the morning I was able to get up. You had got me through the night." And it's almost like this is another step. Not only did God allow him to sleep during the difficulties, to have enough trust in him, and to get through the night safely, but it's like David's waking up in the morning and saying, "Now, Lord, what do I do? What's the next step I got to take? What path do I need to take as I continue on in this problem that I'm facing?" It's amazing that in the midst of all that was going on, and we're going to look at some of the specifics in a minute, in David's life, his desire, his main desire was, "Lord, as I go through this, I really want to know the way I'm supposed to walk. I really want to know the path I'm supposed to take. I really want to know exactly what I'm supposed to do in this situation." By the way, that's important in any area of life or any walk of life or anything you're doing in life, because we can react adversely and we take a problem that shouldn't have been as big a problem that we should have got through, and we don't get through it because our actions have made it worse. God's trying to teach us something as we're walking down the right path, and we use it as an excuse or as an empowerment to get off of that path, and now we're just making things worse. And we're not following his will. How many Christians have been derailed in following God because of their problems or the problems that happen in their life? God never, ever, ever brings problems or allows problems into our life so that we may take His will and put it on the shelf until later. You understand that? God's will is not a part-time thing. God is, when a problem comes, we don't say, well, you know, God's will, I've been derailed. By the way, can I be honest for a minute? You say, you're going to only be honest for a minute, so what do you do the other 30 minutes? I'm more honest. You know, it's almost like in our church this year, you know, everybody had the theme for 2020, right? Acts 2020, you know, a 2020 vision, we're going to reach the world for Christ. We're just trying to meet for church. We're just trying to survive here. And it'd be easy, and I'll be honest with you, I've thought it. We had a lot of plans. I mean, every year about this time, we get with the staff, and I sit down, and I look over everything we've done last year. I look over everything, and I'm like, what's our theme? What are we going to do? What are we trying to accomplish? What are we going to get? And we did that last, and then we meet the staff. They all do it. We're all excited. And then 2020 came, and the train got derailed. And it's like, man, I can't wait till we can get back to God's will. You know, I have to realize something. This is God's will. Okay, yeah. And also King Gavin's. By the way, what I mean by that, God knows what's going on. God knows what our governor's doing. I wish he'd let me in on it because I am seriously confused. And I am not having Thanksgiving outside. But by the way, that's in a church sense, but I know it's a temptation in all of our lives, right? To say, I just got to shelf everything. And by the way, sometimes things happen and God wants us maybe to redirect what we're doing for a temporary time, but that's His will too. But the problem is we got to make sure that we find out exactly what God wants so we're staying on that path and we don't just do things on our own and we blow everything up. God's will can be very challenging to follow without difficulties. There's so many difficulties we face. We're facing the difficulties of our society. And by the way, society is not getting better. Society is getting worse. But that's to be expected from those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. But the church, we gotta deal with it. Sometimes it's problems in families and issues of that nature. By the way, that's just reality. Maybe it's internal struggles, things we face because of our humanity, and things that we just have to suck it up and get through it. Sometimes we have struggles related to the natural things of life. Maybe some of you have struggled financially because of what's going on here, and maybe there's other things that just come up as a part of life, and you just have to deal with it. And then sometimes there's just contention from others, people that just go sour. You try to maybe be the best sibling you can, but you have some maybe married, and you're not getting along, or it's parents, or it's cousin, or whatever it is, the person you work with. All these things come across us sometimes. We got to deal with them, but we cannot let them derail God's will in our life. God's will isn't just direction in life. It also gives us direction in specific situations. Understand that. Any situation you face, God's will is still right there, and God can give you specifics to get through that. It's not just for the future. It is for the present. The problem with us is, and especially if you've been a Christian for a while, here is our weakness. We cannot just segregate God's will to who I will marry, where I will live, what my career will be, and things of that nature. Isn't that what we do far too often? We take God's will, we just make, well, God's will is who I'm going to marry. God's will is where am I going to end up? Where is God going to place me to live my life? God's will is what job, or if God has me in the ministry, what is that specific? There is so much more to God's will than that. Let's not just put it off on the big things, as we would say. God's will is also day to day. God's will is also situation to situation. And if we can follow God's will on a day to day basis, If we can continue in God's will, situation to situation, problem to problem, then we can look down and say, I will be in God's will 5 years from now. I will be in God's will 10 years from now. And I can maybe, by the grace of God, get to the end of my life and look back by like Paul did and said, I finished my course. My course, the one that God gave him. I have fought the fight and I've finished and I've kept the faith. Let's quit looking for lightning bolts from heaven. Why don't we just follow the light from God's book? Now, I want to look at two aspects here briefly tonight from God's will, about God's will from David. Very, very simple. In his specific situation. I want us to see, first of all, the leading to God's will. All the problems that David was dealing with before he cried out for God's leading in his life. And these are things that can cause issues for our life that we may not handle correctly. So let's look at the leading to God's will. This is David's responses to the situations he was facing that would lead him up to God's will. Underneath that, I want you to notice David's praying. In the first part of the chapter, David is praying and sharing the seriousness of what he's going through. Look at verse 1. David talks a little about the energy that he needs God to give to him. He goes, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. You can see the seriousness right off the bat by the way David answers, starts the psalm. He goes straight to prayer because he needs God's help. It reminds us of Psalm chapter 3 that we looked at last week. There was no sense of, you know, let me go through my prayer list. He's like, I need God now. And he says, God, I need you. I need your energy. Hear me. What I want us to know as we look at David's prayer, I want you to notice the foundation. You know what the foundation for his praying was? It was the character of God. By the way, that's a good place to start. Praying to God and getting God to hear us, it has nothing to do with our character. It has everything to do with God's. And I've read all the, maybe I'm a bad pastor here. I've read all the great heroes of the faith. George Mueller. I talked last week about Hudson Taylor on the ship and his confidence in prayer. Listen, I know God answers me, brother, too, and I've seen him do it, but I'm not a Hudson Taylor. I never prayed and got up and said, you know what? I ain't praying about that anymore. It's over. God's answering. Now, maybe I'll get there. You all pray for me. I'm not that confident in me, but I'll tell you who I am confident in. I'm confident in a great God. I am confident in God. And he, because of his character, he says, listen, he goes, in thy faithfulness, answer me. You know, if God answers your prayer, it's not because of you. And it's not because of me. It's because he is faithful. Now, we're to be faithful in praying, and we're to be faithful and have faith in God and all those things. But you know, it's nice to go to God knowing he is faithful. God wants to hear me. But also, and in thy righteousness, not my righteousness. Oh, now I understand that if we are willfully sinning and disobeying God, he says he will not hear us, although he wants to. But listen, none of us come to God with perfection. And God still loves us and hears us. If we're doing the best we can, we're going to have to confess our sins when we go to God. But can I just tell you something? That's good, and we get our relationship right with God. But if he answers, it's because of his righteousness, not mine. Why? Because then it's his glory, not mine. If we pray for something big and it happens, and I think we've got some in the last few days. I think that wood floor for the gym was a prayer answered. I think getting the bus we did from out of state was an answer to prayer. And we can go on and on and on. But let me just tell you something. Oh, is that because you're such a wonderful church and all that? Nope, it's because we have a faithful, wonderful, righteous God who in his grace, for whatever reason, listens to us despite ourselves. So David is praying. He needs that energy from God. That's very important. But then he talks about the enormous weight of his sin. Look at verse 2. And let's think of this. And enter not into judgment with thy servant. He goes, look. Now, that's probably why. I know you're righteous, but don't judge me, Lord. Don't enter into judgments against me. For in thy sight shall no man be justified. David understood his sinfulness. And as he's coming to God in the midst of a problem, he comes to God on God's faithfulness and righteousness, but he also comes to God realizing, God, I'm a sinful human being, and I don't deserve anything from you. If this is the same situation, the problem with Absalom that he faced last week, remember we went through that, he probably had some guilt because partly the problem with Absalom is he didn't handle that correctly. And part of the problem he was in that is because they saw his sin with Bathsheba and how he handled the whole Uriah situation. But he had got right with God. And so he's like, God, if you're going to start checking sins and dealing with me, I'm not going to make it. Because who can stand in your sight? Let me just tell you something. Nobody can stand in God's sight. And the only reason we can stand in God's sight is because of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. When God looks at you, he doesn't see your righteousness. He doesn't see my righteousness. In fact, I believe Isaiah said all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. God sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ applied to our account. Thank God for that. If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't even bother going to prayer because I wouldn't listen to myself if I were God. But then he describes the enemy that's after him in verse 3. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life to the ground. He had made me to dwell in darkness, as those that are been long dead. See, David is very specific. He says, Lord, I have these enemies and they're after me, and I've got all of these problems. Sometimes we think, well, we got enemies, we got problems. Hey, when you go to God, be very specific about what's going on in your life. God can handle it. Say, well, God knows everything. Let him know how you feel about everything. You read the Psalms, it's like, man, David was like straight up. He squared away everything. It's like, man, I just feel like running. And then he goes to the flip side. I just feel like you should knock the teeth out of my enemies. Now, if I have to choose, I'd probably choose more of the second than the first. But that's my flesh. But he's honest about the situation. He goes, Lord, I'm in trouble. I need your help. Now, let me just say this. In the New Testament, we do need to pray for our enemies a different way. What does he tell us? Forgive our enemies, and we ought to pray for good things for them. Lord, bless my enemies. I help them not to be my enemies anymore, but it gives us a better spirit about that. But he's honest about it. He has enemies. And then that led him up to verse 4 where he's talking about the emotions that are overcoming him. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but have you ever felt like that? Have you ever just been emotionally shot because of what you're going through? You're just like, but here's the difference between David and you and I. Typically, when a Christian gets to that point, they don't go to the Lord in prayer. Like, I can't talk to God. I'm just too emotional right now. Well, that's the time you're supposed to go. Amen. You say, but I'm not feeling it. Well, tell God that. Amen. That's the time to go. Yep. That's the time to say, Lord, I don't even want to be on my knees. I don't. If you've never prayed, and there have been times in my life, I'm trying to pray, and it's just like you got so much swirling in your mind, it's like you just don't even want to do it. It's just like, Lord, I'm here, but it's like I can't concentrate. There's this thing, and so here's what we do sometimes. Okay, I'll confess. Here's what I do sometimes. So you just try to knock through your prayer list. All right? Anybody want to confess to doing that? Anybody ever been there? And I've got this thing on my mind, Brother Jerry, and I'm just like, and it's bothering me, but I'm like, I'm going through the prayer list, and after like 5 minutes, it's like, this is a waste of time because I got to deal with what's going on in my life. I got to deal with the emotions I feel. I got to deal with whether it's, sometimes the emotion is, I'll give it in a nice way, not being happy. But you got to be honest, Lord, you know what, Lord? I know I'm supposed to pray for all these things today, but I've got this thing I got to deal with. That's, you know what? That's when you really have communication with God. And David had that. He was honest. But not only did David pray, that led him to wanting God's will, but David pondered. David pondered. And this, as we move on to the second section of these verses, he's pondering all that God has done in the past, thinking ahead, that's what I need God to do in the future. What was he pondering about? Well, look at verse 5. He contemplates the past. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. You know, whenever something goes on, we always like to look back to the past, right? Because you know what we do? It's like, and by the way, that's why we ought to thank God for the present. But we think, man, things were better back then. I wasn't dealing with this problem. Life was good then. And now I've got a deal. You know, there's a reason why people still like not Barney, but Andy Griffith's show and Father's, some of these older shows. You know why? Life was so much simpler. You didn't have to deal with all the, I was going to say stupidity, but that's dumb stuff. People long for simpler times. And now they had their problems back then too, all right? That's just nostalgia. But we do that personally in our lives. We feel sometimes when problems come, how come God's not working in my life anymore? And we want to look back to the times when, you know, I wish God would work in my life like he was back then. No, God's still working in your life and you'll let him. It's just not as comfortable as it was back then. But you got to remember, I muse on thy works. Looking back, now listen to this, is only helpful if on, it's only hopeful depending on how we interpret the things of the past, I guess it'd be the best way to do it. If we're going to look back on the past so we can whine in the present, it's not helpful. But if we look back in the past so we can see what God did, we can be hopeful for the future. And that's what David is doing here. And sometimes, by the way, people, we have to stop and do that. We have to stop and meditate on everything that God has done. Remember when David and his men were with the Philistines and they snuck off and they took Ziklag and they were coming home and they had left their wife and their children and the Amalekites swoop. They came in quick and they lit the city on fire and they took their families and they took all their stuff and they come back after this big victory and everybody's gone, their family, their children. And then David's men are so distraught, they're talking about stoning David. So what did David do? David went by himself and he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You know what he did? He pondered. And he thought, and he came back and said, let's go get him. But he had to stop and think about the past. That's why the longer you serve God, the more ammunition you have to look back in the past when things go a little helter-skelter. You can look back at what God did. You got saved and you started growing in your faith and maybe you go through a little slippery area and you can stop back and say, man, I remember when God was working in my life. Then David conveys a plea in verse 6. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. Why? Because God's the only one who can help him. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land, Selah. Or Selah. Brother Pichardo, you're a horrible one. Selah. It's my granddaughter, Selah, not Selah. Let's interpret that correctly. But see, David's pondering took him in the right direction. Now he's no longer whining, or not whining, he's no longer praying as much about what's going on, although he still has some issues and you'll get to it. Now he's saying, hey, God can do something. I've seen it. And I'm thirsting after God to do something. In other words, he thought about what God did and said, I want God to do some more. I desire it as a thirsty soul in a dry land. Think of being thirsty in the desert. Maybe if we desired God that much, we would probably hear from him a lot more. As I say, there are no part-time Christians. There is no part-time relationship with God. There is no half a measure of desire for God. Go all the way for it. Don't be half-hearted about it. We ought to understand that we need God so bad, we need him as much as we need water, food, and food. Then we see David's pressing. The last part of this chapter, the last little section we're going to look at here, David is pressing God to let him know what he needed for this situation. Look at verse 7. You see David's passion now to God to answer. He says, Lord, I need it now in verse 7. Hear me speedily, O God. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from thee, lest I be like unto them that go down to the pit. He said, okay, God, here it is. I'm understanding you. I know what you can do. I'm desiring you, but I have to have it now. I don't have time to wait. He wanted it now. Verse 8, he says, I want to know. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. We looked at it, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. Everything was leading up to him saying, God, I need you to work, but I need the details. I need the specifics. I can't wait any longer. I need you to work, and I need you to work now. By the way, God's okay with that. Do you understand that? As long as we're not the ones putting the constraint on God. Sometimes we want God to say, no, God, I want you to work, and you have to do it now. God's like, that ain't my time frame. But sometimes there may become something in your life, and it's push or shove, and you don't have time to wait, and you're going to need God to answer. God doesn't mind working under constraints. And then he says, deliver me, verse 9, O Lord, from mine enemy. I flee unto thee. He says, boy, I need to go. I need your help. Why? Because his enemies are after him. So after the leading to God's will, the last few minutes I have, I want us to look at the learning of God's will. After all, that's what all this is leading to. After all that was going on in his life and all that he needed was leading up to God. I need your will. This is in verse 10. He says, teach me to do thy will. We need to all get to the place. Now listen to me. Whether we're going through problems or not, we need to all get to the place where no matter what's going on in our life, we say, God, I need your will. God's will isn't just for problems. Just like prayer isn't just for 911 calls. It's for every day of our life. But unfortunately, we have trouble seeing that unless there is a problem. We need to be spiritual enough to say, I need God's will every day. Teach me to do thy will. Without trying to learn God's will, it's nothing more than just something that Christians talk about, but very seldom do. And that's important. I hope that's the desire of your heart. I hope that's the desire of all of our hearts. You know, people can be taught something, think about this, without learning it. You ever notice that? You can have a classroom of people and you can teach them something and the classroom walks out and only about 15% got it because only about 15% wanted to get it. Learning, it's no good unless you have the desire and the motivation to actually get it. And I encourage you to be that type of Christians. So there's two areas in the learning of God's will. I'll give them to you briefly. It's nothing that you haven't heard, but it's usually something that we struggle to apply. So where are the two specific areas where we will get God's will? Here we go. You ready? The word of his will. The word of his will. It comes from the scripture. God has given us his word so that we will specifically know his will in extremely specific situations. You don't need to pray about God's will if God has already spoken about it, right? Hey, Dad, can I do this? No. Are you sure I can't do it? I already said no. You want me to spell it for you? N-O. Backwards? O-N. No. If it's, you know, if it's like, you know, but no. You know, Lord, I'm dating this unbeliever. Lord, are they your will for my life? Very, very clearly, you don't even pray about that. I can give you the answer, and I'm not God. No. God tells Christians don't marry unbelievers. Here's one. It's a little tricky, but it's okay. Sunday night, we'll throw it to you. God, is it okay for me to drink? You don't need to pray about that. The answer is no. Wine's a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I can look at all, and I can pick it here and there. Lord, do I need to get baptized to be safe? No. Lord, should I get baptized after I'm safe? Yes. Why? Bible tells us that. And so God's will is specific. Okay, there's financial ones. Co-signing. Lord, should I co-sign? Only if you want to get if you want a smart for it. And I don't mean a smartwatch. So God's will is very, very clear. And by the way, understand this. The commands in God's will, God's word are not optional. They are straightforward. God's word helps us to figure out his will only if we are in God's word. And one way to kind of track our lives, if you want to track your life to say, am I the kind of person that's kind of in God's will where I'm at right now? By the way, you may not know the specifics. Some of you younger ones, you don't know where you're going. You don't know who you're marrying. You don't know all that. You don't know the future stuff. You need to deal with the present stuff. I'll tell you, you want to figure out if you're in God's will? Is your life all about doing what the Bible says to the best of your ability? I didn't say be perfect because none of us are going to qualify. Can I get an amen? But if your life is not about figuring out what God wants in my life by what he says in his word, then you're probably not going to be in his will. That's step one. I had no clue where life was taking me. Now, I cracked open the Bible the first time I was 18 and started reading. I had no clue what was going on. But I didn't even think about the future. I just said, what's the word of God say for today? What am I supposed to do today? And you know what? That's a good place to be. If you're in that place, you're going to be okay. But you got to read your Bible like that. By the way, it's not just a checkoff box. It's about desire. Read your Bible like David prayed. I want to seek you like someone that's in the desert and they haven't had a drink of water for, I don't know how many days you can survive without water, but, you know, 2 or 3 days if you can do that long. That's how we ought to want God's word in the morning. And I understand sometimes we're tired. And I get it. I'm just saying it's about attitude. So the specifics of God's will are in his word, but there's also the way of his will. That's the direction of your life that is not specifically dictated by God's word. Okay? There was nowhere in the Bible that said Steve Myers, marry Oma Rojas. Why? Because it wasn't God's will. No. Okay. There were no specifics there. But there were specifics about the kind of person I should marry. And by the way, I prayed about that for a long time. Some of you singles might want to do that. That was on my list. And I wasn't looking. I was in Bible college. I was trying to get through. But as I met her, I'm like, she has the qualifications. I think she loves God. I think she's a good person. And she really hit the jackpot. But she let him get away and settled for me. I don't know if I mentioned it somewhere. I used to see Pastor walking around here, Pastor Esposito, and I'm like praying for him. And like, man, I'm glad I don't have that job. Glad I don't have that job. But I'm praying for him because I know it's hard. I don't know. I don't know if I'm supposed to be here. I didn't even get a text. But God's will, as you follow God's word, now listen to this, and you live God's word every single day and you're committed to it, you know what's going to happen? God will take you to where you're supposed to be. We want a lightning bolt from heaven. We want this, you know, I prayed about it and I had this dream. No. You ate something goofy before you went to bed. Just follow God today. And by the way, be open to what God wants from you. And you know what? If you have an open heart, I guarantee you you'll get to where you're supposed to be. But you got to want to. The problem with us is, and I'll be done, is we want to stick in our own will. This is what we want. We've already decided things in our life, whether it's in a problem or not. And so what we do is we try to let me open the Bible and see if I can find that, make that fit. You'll go get counsel from 7 different people hoping that somebody gives you the answer you want to hear. That's why, personally me, now you can come inform me because sometimes that's a good thing, but it's not counsel. By the way, you understand how I'm not God. I'm not telling you what to do. I'll pray for you. I'll point out some things. That's between you and God. But sometimes people won't come and ask me things. They'll just come and say, oh, here's what I'm doing. I'm like, great, you want some coffee? Oh, no, I'm tight with my coffee. But because you didn't ask my advice, so I'm not going to give it to you. Now, thank you for informing me. I do want to know so I can pray for you. But you might, and I'm not saying I'm God's will, but just we do that with people. You're not going to say things to certain people or do things, and you won't even pray about it. Because you're kind of figuring out what you want to do. And maybe what you have a desire to do, God will want you to do. Don't get me wrong. But you can figure out that maybe it's not what God wants you to do if you won't pray about it. If you would never say this, Lord, I feel this is what I want to do. I think this might be what you want me to do. But if this is not what you want me to do, if you'll let me know, I won't. See, a lot of times we won't pray that. What do you have to lose? You know, God is our Heavenly Father. You know, I would not steer any of my children the wrong direction because I love them, right? And none of you would steer your children the wrong direction because you love them. Now, let's just backtrack for a minute. Isn't God our Heavenly Father? Don't you think He knows us better than we know ourselves? Don't you think God knows what is best? You know, well, if I surrender to God, I'm going to be a missionary to Siberia. You probably won't, unless you like snow. God's going to put you in a place where when you get there, you're going to say, I'm glad I follow God because I fit. But let's not be afraid of it. God's word will lead us to God's way, but we'll never find God's will if we don't listen to His word and we're afraid of His way. And David, in this problem, was open to God's will. And by the way, he needed it. And whether or not you're going through a problem tonight, you need God's will too. You do. Life is too short. You get one shot at this. It would be a tragedy to get to the end of your life and say, man, I wasted it. I did this, and this is not what God created me for. Let's be Paul. I've finished my course. Let's stand together this evening. Every head bowed, every eye closed just for a minute. Thank you for paying attention. I know the wind is here. Look, my goal as a pastor is not to push you to what I want you to do. My goal is to encourage you to do what God wants you to do. Because I'm not God. And I might tell you to go do something that it's not God's will. But if you come to me and there's something that's God's will, maybe you're afraid of it, I'm going to push you to do it. Because God's will is best. It is. Let's quit watching everybody's Instagram and all this stuff. Well, they are really happy doing that, and I'm happy for them. But I want to follow God's will for my life. Well, my friends are doing this, and this just seems fun, and blah, 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 blah. What does God have to do with it? He ought to have everything to do with it. The will of God stated in His word, and the will of God that He will show you as you're walking in the way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's short distance for today and it's long distance for tomorrow. And I'm standing here tonight on behalf of God to say, you'll never regret God's will. Follow it. And don't let anything push you off of it. Well, I'm following God's will, but I'm having difficulties, and I believe the difficulties are God's will to move me away from what I'm doing. No, 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 no. No. Or else David should have stopped 100 times. Sometimes difficulties are proof of God's will. But God will lead you. We got to trust Him. Our Father, we thank You for loving us. We thank You, Lord, that when You saved us, You had a desire for our lives. You had a destination for our lives. I'm so glad that my life has a purpose outside of anything I could ever do in this world. And even if it wasn't being a pastor, whatever it was, Your purpose for my life is grander and better than anything I could ever have come up with. And for that, I will be eternally grateful. And I pray that You would help each one of us in here, first of all, Lord, to find Your will for our life. May we follow what You've told us in Your word that we don't need to debate. But may we find the specifics as we do that. And Lord, help us to be determined to finish your will for our life. In spite of any difficulties, maybe even persecutions we may face. Thank you for these that are here tonight, Lord. Bless them. Give us a great week. May we spend the week with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.